The Mishnah states on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis that part of the process of Malkos was to have the Chazana Knesset, the representative of the community, holding the victim's or the sinner's pants, so to pull them down. And if they got pulled down, the clothing got pulled, not so bad. You'd pull this cloak, the cloak. And pull the cloak until uncovering his chest. So let's start at that point with the Gemara here on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. My timer, why would they pull down his clothes? Nishum Nikla, because the verse says, V'nikla chicha le'inecha. That part of the process of giving the lashes is to humiliate your brother in front of you. Amr Rav Sheshes Mishum Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Sheshes said in the name of Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Minayin l'ritzua she'isha l'egel. What's the source in the pasuk that the whip, that the strap that's giving the lashes, in the Koran Gemara, they have a nice picture of this whip on the front. So what's the source that this whip was from the hide of a calf, of a cow? Because the pasuk says, Arbaim Yakenu, you should give the sinner 40 lashes, hit him 40 times. The Samachlein in the next section, after talking about giving the sinner 40 lashes, is Lo Sachsom Shor B'disho. You may not muzzle an ox while the ox is working with food, while it's stepping on grain and doing the threshing. You have to enable the ox to snack on the grain that it's separating from the chaff. So since the Torah talks about a shor, and then right after talking about a shor, it talks about Arba'im Yakenu, giving 40 lashes, that the smichuta parshiyot, the connection, the approximation of the two sections of law is to tell you that the Yakenu is from the shores, from the hide of an ox. An ox is a male cow. V'am Rav Sheshes Mishum Reb Elazar ben Azariah, talking about some more smichuta parshiyot, some more lessons from sections of Torah that are next to each other. Rav Sheshes is taught in the name of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Minayin liyavama shenaf lefnei mukashchin, shein chos menosa. We know that if a woman's husband dies and he has no children, so then she falls into a process called zika. There's a bond between her and her husband's brother. And the husband's brother could do yibum, he could marry her, even though normally eshet achiv, the wife of a brother, is prohibited, but the husband's brother is allowed to marry her through yibum. Or if they don't want to do it, if he says, I don't want to marry her, so he needs to enable her or allow her to do the process of chalitza on him. She takes off his shoe, she spits at him in front of the court, she says, lo avayav mi, doesn't want to be miyabe mi. And everybody declares, Beit Chalutzanal, the household of the removed shoe, and she's now permitted to marry. So let's say she was married to a man, the man died without children, but the man's brother is, he looks very ugly. He's got shrin, he's got boils all over his body. So how do we know that we don't say to her, okay, shut up, woman, and go marry this man, that you have a mitzvah to marry him? That wouldn't be nice. That wouldn't be fair. Lo sachson. We don't seal up her mouth. Rather, we say she's not happy with him. He has to give her chalitza. We're not going to force them to do yibum. So how do we know that? Because the pasuk says, lo sachson shor b'disho. It says, don't muzzle the ox with its threshing. The Samachlein, and the next section after don't muzzle is Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtav, when two brothers are living together, one dies without any children, then his widow should either marry the brother or do chalitza on the brother to be able to marry other people. So the connection between the section of Yibum and Lo Sachsom Shor B'Disho is to say that we don't force a Yivama, we don't muzzle up a Yivama, we won't force her to do a Yibum with someone she doesn't want to do.
She have to have a good reason, or she can even refuse any for any reason. And this year, she have a good reason.
Well, she can't refuse for any reason because we saw that Yibum can work Baal Karcha, but we're saying that here, if he's blemished, we're not going to force her to end up marrying him. Va'amar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes had another lesson. Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Again, based on Smichos HaParashios, just interpreting, you know, section after section here in the book of Dvarim. Kol Mevazes HaMoedim, anyone who demeans and disgraces holidays, namely, Rashi says that means he does work on Chol HaMoed. Ki'ilu Oved Avodas Kochavim, that's as if he worships idols. Because the verse says, Elohei Masechalo Sa'asalach, it says don't worship idols, don't make molten images of gods for yourself. And then the next section is Eschaga Matzos Tishmor, keep, preserve, guard, watch the holiday of the Matzos. So it's saying that watching the holiday of Matzos, even Chol HaMoed, is as important as not worshiping idols. Another lesson based on Smichos HaParashios. Kol HaMasaper Lashon Hara, both the one who relates negative speech about others, V'Kol HaMakabel Lashon Hara, and anyone who believes the negative speech about others, V'Kol HaMeyed Edu Sheker, and anyone who would testify falsely, Ro'i Lashlicho L'Klavim, deserves to be thrown to the dogs. Because on the one end we have a pasuk that says "Tchsiv la kelev tashlichun oso," that if you have an animal that's not slaughtered correctly, throw it to the dogs. The samachlein. The next pasuk is "Lo sisa shem hashav." What does it mean? "Lo sisa shem hashav." Don't literally carry false rumors or empty rumors. Kribe nami lo sasi. Don't cause to be carried empty rumors. In other words, don't say bad speech. Don't lo sisa. Don't be someone who carries the bad speech, the shema, the rumors of shav, of emptiness. And also lo sasi. Don't cause to be carried. Don't believe and accept and listen to the bad rumors about others, because that's gonna, if you listen, you're gonna cause other people to say it. So lo sasi, don't make it said, the bad rumors. That's to mean not to listen to the bad rumors. And then right afterwards it talks about klavim, about dogs. So that's saying that anyone who speaks Lashon Hara, or who believes Lashon Hara, or who, you know, in general, speaks, gives false testimony, deserves to be thrown to the dogs. That's why there's a connection between dogs and Shema Shav. Welcome back, James. Okay, so now we are at the two dots. On Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, Ushtei Ritzuos. So the Mishnah taught about the shape of the whip. So there are these two straps that were sewed together to a third strap to, you know, give the lashes like this, and they would, you know, wrap around and hit him in his stomach when a guy gets the lashes. Tana, we learned in a brisa, these two straps were shel chamor, were of the skin of a donkey. Kedidare shahi galila, aled Rav Chisda. And the source of this is because of a lesson that this person from the Galilee expounded in front of Rav Chisda. The verse says in Isaiah, Yadash, the prophet decries the weakness of the Jewish people's observance. And the prophet Yeshayahu says, Yadashor koneyu, the ox knows its owner, v'chamor evuspa alav, and the donkey knows the feeding trough of its owner. And yet Yisrael lo yada, my nation doesn't know, amilo hisponan, my nation doesn't pay attention. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is God saying? Yavo mi shemakir evuspa alav, let the donkey, such a lowly animal, but still it knows who its owner is, and it's loyal to its owner's feeding trough. Let the one who knows its donkey know its owner come. V'yifra, let him be the vehicle to give the lesson and to punish. Mimi she'eino makir evus ba'ala, from the sinner who ignores the feeding trough of his master, who goes and sins and doesn't fulfill the prohibitions. And that's the person who gets malchus, the one who gets lashes. Then the Mishnah says, Yada tefach, the length of this strap, the handle of the strap was a tefach. And the strap would wrap around the guy and you know, singe him or sting him on his stomach. So Amar Abaya said, Shema minot kol chad v'chad l'fum gabe avdinalis. That means we make personalized whipping straps for each person, depending on how big the stomach is. That's how big the strap has to be able to wrap around and give him a zetz in the stomach. So you had so Amar le Rava. So Rava said to Abaya, I understand. You think that the Beis Din has a whole wall of whipping straps based on the different sizes of the sinners, you know, thin, smaller straps for the thin guys and longer straps for the more heavyweight guys. Imke nafesh lu ritzuos tuva. They're going to have lots of straps.
Custom-made.
That's what Abaya seems to say. Custom-made whipping straps. So Ella Amarava, Sarava said, no, avkata isle. The strap has all sorts of loops. So kibayi, when he needs to, miktarbe, he ties the loop, so he tightens it up, he makes it smaller. And kibayi, when he has when the cord has a bigger guy that needs to be whipped, so marapale, they just weaken the loops, they undo the loops, and then it becomes a bigger strap, and it can wrap around his back and get him in the stomach. Then the Mishnah said that they would be malkin oso, they would hit him with sets of threes. So one time we would wrap around, hit him in the stomach, and then two times in the back. Minani mili, how do we know that the lashes should be divided into three blows with the whip? Amar Rav Kahana explained, Amar Kahana, because the pasuk says, v'hi pilo ha-shofet, and the judge will knock him over or make him fall over. V'hi ko lifanav, and he will hit him before him. Kederish aso bamispar, according to his wickedness by count. So that sounds like risha achas milfanav, one wickedness in the front. And then when it says bamispar, that means shteirish ayos, another two blows me'acharav from the back. So one in the front and two in the back. So you know, because it sounds like this. That's what the Sifsei Chacham says in Rashi, that Kidei Rish Aso, you're hitting him according to his wickedness. That's about the front. And then Bimispar. And then besides that, you have also a number. So a number must be more than one. That's another two in the back.
But the whip that actually whipped him was a tefach wide?
The handle.
The width of the strap is one tefach.
That he's holding on to. The part of it that he's holding.
Oh. So, Rabbi, the lashes were readily given, right? This was not the
truth. That's right. We don't have a law. We have to try to avoid giving lashes. That's right. Then the Mishnah said, Ein Malkin Oso, we don't hit him when he is standing up. Upright, but rather we, you know, have him kneel over this pole, and we give him the three lashes. A malkin oso elamota, as it says, the pilo ashofet. So, Amar Rav Chizkiya Amar Rav Yochanan, minayin l'ritzua shu muchpelas. How do we know that this strap has to be folded into two? Shinamar vihi pilo, because the verse says, and he will, you know, make him kneel over. And we're reading vihi pilo as the word vihich pilo. So you should double the strap. That's what the Maharsha explains. So the Gemara now asks, what do you mean vihi pilo, that the strap has to be doubled? Vami boile le gufei. But we needed to tell me that he has to be leaning over the pole, as the Mishnah says. So im kreim lichtov krayatehu. Then the pasuk should have just said he should kneel him over. My hipilo. Why does the verse say he will fall him over, or make him kneel over? Shema minatarti. It's also to tell me that the strap has to be hich below, has to be doubled. Okay. Then the Mishnah says hamake hamake biyado achas b'chol kocho. The guy who is hitting, he has to hit him with one hand with all of his strength. So Tanur Rabban and our sages taught, Ema Amidim Chazana, we won't appoint as the representatives of the court, the police officers, Ela Chaseire Koach, people who are weak of strength. The Yaseire Madza, and also with a lot of wisdom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, afilu chaserei madat. It can be people that don't have so much wisdom. The yaserei koach, and they're big bulvans, they're very strong people. When they come down with the whip, it hurts. Amar Rav, Rav said, kavasa Rabbi Yehuda mistabra. Rabbi Yehuda is probably more, Rabbi Yehuda is more right. I think he's correct. Because the verse says, in regards to giving the lashes, Arbayim Yaken, who hit him 40 times, Lo Yosef, don't add to that, Pen Yosef Lakoso, lest he hit him too much. Now, we have Bishlama Chasere Madaif, the people who are giving these lashes are people who aren't so smart, not so knowledgeable. That's what the Torah has to say. You can only hit 40 times and don't hit too much. And that's why the court has to make an assessment. How many can the guy get? And can't give more than that. But if we're talking about people who are very wise and very weak, so you have to warn them not to give too many lashes. Of course, they're not going to give too many lashes. Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan will say, no, we're talking about people who are very wise, Torah scholars, and they're weak. And why does the Torah have to warn them, don't give too many lashes? And Mizars and El Mizoras, you warn those people who are already passionate. The people who are into things, they're the ones who are going to listen to the warnings. So those who are very wise, they're the ones who have to be warned. Don't give too many lashes when you're giving the lashes. But to warn the ignorant thugs, there's no point in such a warning because they're not going to listen anyway. Ain't mizars and el mizuras. You only talk, you only try to inspire those who are already inspired. Those are the ones you deal with. When the guy lifts up his hand with the strap to give the lashes, he lifts up with both hands. When he comes down with the strap, then it's makah biyado achas. He comes down with one hand, so that there's more. With both hands, it went up, but then when it comes down, it's with one hand, so it comes down harder that way. Because if it comes down with both hands, it would come down a little bit softer. So so in that way, the blow will come with all of the strength that whomever the court officer is, whether it's a thug according to Rabbi Yehuda or a scholar according to the sages, can muster when he brings down the strap.
Give it to Roger Cohen to hit. Then he's not going to do anything right.
So the Mishnah says, I remember just Rav Lichtenstein told us that Rav Huttner explained this Gemara, that the reason why the scholar should be someone who's the court officer should be a Seirei Mada, a man of a lot of wisdom, is not just because if he has more wisdom, he probably has less physical strength and it's a more compassionate way. It's that if he has a lot of wisdom, so psychologically in his own mind, he's not going to be so angry with this sinner. He has wisdom. So he said, well, you know, yeah, there's a reason for why he did what he did. He sees the gray in it. So if a person in his own mind has decided this guy is terrible, so when he hits with whatever he can muster. But if in his own mind he's ambivalent because he sees the gray in it, so then even when he comes down with the whip, even though he's coming down with one hand, he's hesitant about it. So that also is part of the compassion to the sinner.
Rashi put it here, the Chazan, the time, all the Tzibur has to love.
Okay, but this is a different meaning of the word Chazan. Chazan Beit HaKnesset. Va'akore kore. So then, during the lashes, they declare the verses, they read them out loud. So the Brisa explains what the judges would be doing. Tanur Abanan HaGadol Shabbatayanim kore. The leader of the judges is the one who reads these verses. Hasheni Mona, the second judge is counting out the lashes. Vashlishi Omer, the third is saying, Hakeu, okay, hit him, right? So the second judge is saying, okay, two. And the third judge says, okay, hit him now for the third time. Bizman Shemaka Maruba, says the Braisa, let's say they had assessed that this man could get lots of lashes. Marich, so then the head judge will elaborate a great deal with the reading of the verses. But if they had assessed that he could only get few lashes, Makatzer, so then he has to read the verses in a shorter way. Asks the Gemara of Anantam, but our Mishnah said that if he read all the verses and he's still getting hit, he keeps reading them again. So the Gemara explains, mitzvah tzamtzim. Ideally, he should coordinate the reading of the verses with the ending of the lashes. But if he finished reading the verses and the guy is still getting lashes, then our Mishnah says, Chos l'tchila samikra. Then he goes back to the beginning and he reads the lashes again. So the Torah says that a person gets 40 lashes, and then it says, Pen Yosef Lakoso, he can't get more than the amount he's supposed to get. Tana Rabbanan went in a brisa that Isser Makaraba, since Ainli Ella Makaraba, Makamu Etes Minayim. So the Torah says he shouldn't add. I would think it's only can't add a lot. How do you know he can't even add even a little bit to what he deserves? That's what the pasuk says. Arboim Yokenu Lo Yosef. He should hit him 40 times. He shouldn't add at all. Why does the Torah say then a big blow, lots of blows? Rishono Shein Makaraba. So that's to say that the first lashes that he gets are big blows. The person gives it to the sinner with all of his strength. But then he has to stop at whatever point he's supposed to stop. Then the Mishnah said that if the guy, man or the woman, the sinner getting the lashes, suddenly go to the bathroom in the middle of getting the lashes, so that humiliation is so great, they don't need to get any more lashes. So Tanur Rabbanan went to the Braisa, Echad Ish ve'Echad Isha Berei ve'lo b'mayim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Couldn't Rabbi Meir, it would have to be both a man or a woman, because of the lashes, suddenly have to defecate, and they defecate in public. That would be so humiliating that they don't need to keep getting lashes. But if they urinate in public because of the blows, that wouldn't be a humiliation deserving of stopping the lashes. For Kunt Rabbi Meir, it's both man and woman. But Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ishbirei, if a man has excrement, then he's humiliated, he doesn't need to get more lashes. V'aisha b'mayim, and a woman, even just urine coming out during the lashes would exempt her from more lashes. And the sages say, Echad Ish ve'Echad Isha, both the man and the woman, Bein Berei, Bein B'mayim, both if it's defecation or if it's urinating, they are now exempted from further lashes. That's the Braisa. Ask the Gemara of Atanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, both a man or a woman are included in if they defecate, implying that a woman is not exempted by urinating. Answer the Gemara, Amr of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, you mentioned the Brisa, what's the Shneim Shavim Berei? They're both equal in regards to defecation. But still, a woman also has the option, according to Yehuda, that if she had to urinate because of the blows, that's the humiliation that exempts her from further lashes. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Kavtu, what happens if they tie the guy up to give him the lashes, and he runs away, and he escapes from the court? So now what? So Putter, he doesn't need to get the lashes. Wow. Got to wait. Meisveis, the Gemara says, I'll challenge you. We went to a Braisa. Kala, if he was humiliated by having a public going to the bathroom, Bein Barishona, Bein Mishnia, whether this happens the first time they hit him or the second time, Polchinoso, and they exempt him from any more lashes. Nifsika Ritsua, if the strap breaks from the hands of the handle, Bashnia, if it's on the second blow, Potrinoso, they then exempt him. Barishona, but the first blow, if he hasn't even gotten, but if it's, but if it's the first time, ain't Potrinoso, then they would not exempt him. So now, am I? So why would we not exempt him? Levi Kiratz, let it be like a guy who escapes. The Gemara says, no, Hasam Ratz, a guy who escapes, he was embarrassed in having to run away as a criminal. Hachalo Ratz, but here, he wasn't embarrassed, it's just that the strap broke. So therefore, he wouldn't be exempted if he hasn't gotten at least one blow. So again, the idea of him running away is like the idea of the guy who has to suddenly go to the bathroom. That also humiliates him. So the humiliation is itself the atonement for the crime.
Where's the punishment of him trying to run away? Because he's out of,
Yeah, apparently just the fact that he was humiliated and running away is already enough to exempt him. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Bryce. Amdu, the sages assessed him. Likishiyilke Kala. They assess that if they blow, they see his body, if they hit him, he's going to have to go to the bathroom. So Pochino, so then they exempt him from the lashes. But if, if they assess him that only once he gets out of the Bezdin will he have to go to the bathroom, then Malkino, so then they hit him. Velod, not only that, Elafilu, Kala Batchila. Even before they hit him, he's going to have to go to the bathroom. Malkin also, they will hit him. Shenamar, as it says, Vihikau, they hit him, and then Vinikla. After he's hit, he's embarrassed. Velo Shalaka Kfar Bebez, not that he was embarrassed already in the court before there were any lashes. Okay. This we've seen earlier. Any party does a sin that deserves kares, let's say eating on Yom Kippur or violating Shabbos without witnesses warning about death. So any sin that deserves kares, if a person got lashes instead, niftru yedei krisasam. So once they got lashes, they were exempted from the punishment of kares shenamar, because it says, v'nikla achicha le'enechan, your brother will be hit before your eyes. That tells you kishalaka. Once he's hit, hareyu k'achicha, he goes back to being your brother. Divrei Reb Chanina ben Gamliel. That's the view of Reb Chanina, the son of Gamliel. V'am Reb Chanina ben Gamliel. My, moreover, avera achas notal nafshaleh. Think about it. If a guy does a single sin, he could end up dying, because if they don't assess the lashes correctly, he could die from all these blows. So therefore, osa mitzvah achas, when he does a mitzvah and he accepts on himself to get the lashes, achas kama v'kama v'shitinasin lo nafsho, certainly that gives him his life and he's saved from kares. Rabbi Shimon says, mimakomohu lomeg. We learned that lashes can stand in place of kares from the laws of kares, from the psukim of kares, because the Torah says that if person does any of the arayos, he gets kares. Shenemar v'nichasu enafashas ha'osos. And then the pasuk says, in turning now to Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, asher yasa osa adam v'chai behem, that a person will do them and he will live through them, that through leaving the arayos, he gets life. So what do you see from here? Hakala yoshe v'lo avar aveir, any person who is sitting and he's faced with the challenge of arayos and he doesn't do the sin, he gets the reward as if he did a mitzvah. So you see that could save him from kares. Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi says, Rabbi Omer, the verse says, Rak chazak levilti achol adam ki adamu anefesh. Torah says, just be strong, don't eat blood, because blood has the soul of the animal. Umayam adam shenafesh al adam katsa mimenu aporesh mimenu mekabel sachar. Here the Torah says, don't eat blood, and if you avoid blood, you get reward. Even though nobody likes blood, certainly there's no desire for blood. So nevertheless, staying away from it gives you reward. So gezel v'arayu, so to stay away from theft, to stay away from illicit marital relations. And after blood, masavaleh and mechamdasen, that a person does desire them. Haporish mihen, if somebody avoids them, alachas kam v'kama, sheyizke lo l'dorosav, certainly he'll merit, and his descendants will merit, l'doros dorosav, and his descendants of descendants, atzov kaladoros, for all generations. Rabbi Chanina ben Akashi Omer, we always say this, Rabbi Chanina ben Akashi says, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakas Es Yisrael, talking about the reward of mitzvos. God wanted to reward the Jewish people, l'fichach hirbalem Torah mitzvos, that's why he gave us many Torah and mitzvos, so that there are all sorts of things that we want to do that we avoid doing, and because of them we get reward. Shenamar, that's why the verse says, Hashem chafitz l'man tzidko, God desires for the sake of his virtue, Yagdil Torah, that's why he increased the amount of Torah, v'yadir, and he made it more powerful to give us more reward. So we went to the Mishnah, the Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said that if a person deserves kares and he gets lashes, then he's exempted from the kares. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan said that's only Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. But apparently, chalukan alav chaver, v'lerabat chanina, but gamliel. The sages disagree, and they think that if you get lashes, you still get karis. Am Ravada bar Ahava. So the Ravada bar Ahava said, Ami bei Rav, they said in the yeshiva, Tninan, those who disagree, that is based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein bein Shabbos liyom HaKippurim, Mishnah and Megillah. There's no difference between violating Shabbos and violating Yom Kippur. El Shazez donu bidei Adam. Just in Shabbos, if you violate it, you get punished by the human court. You could get stoned to death. Shazez donu bidei Karis. Whereas a Yom Kippur, if a person violates Yom Kippur, he gets punished with Karis, with God making the soul cut off. If you're right that for a violation of karis, you could get lashes instead. So So then even violating Yom Kippur could get a punishment from human hands. Because if the man would get lashes, he wouldn't get karis. So he violated Yom Kippur, he ate on Yom Kippur, he could get lashes, and that would be enough. So then both are really in the hands of man. So the Gemara says it's not such a proof. So the Gemara says it's not such a proof. Rav Nachman Omer, Rav Nachman says, Hamani, that Mishnah is Rabbi Yitzlaki. To Amar Malkus B'chai V'Krisus Lekha. He says that lashes don't exist as an option for someone who deserves kares. The Tanya Linton Abrash, Rabbi Yitzlak Omer, Chai V'Krisus B'chlal Hayu. The Torah says that for all the arayos, you could get kares. V'lama yatzis kares ba'achosos. So why did the Torah then specify that for sleeping with a sister, there's a punishment of kares? To tell you, laduna b'kares v'lobu malkus. To say that with a sister, there's only kares. There's no option of lashes. And then, since all the arayos are compared to each other, that means in all the arayos, there is kares and not lashes. But that's only Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yitzchak is the one who says that there's kares and not the option of lashes. But maybe the sages who are the contemporaries of Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, maybe they agree with him that there is the option of lashes.
Yeah, but in the case of a transgression of Shabbat or illicit relationships, if you're not caught, right, I mean, you don't get death penalty by the court, can you have atonement through kapara or something? I mean, or like a offering?
This is the question. Lashes would be the atonement. An offering is only for a shogeg.
Doesn't work. Okay,
right. That's an argument. But according to Rechanim ben Gamliel, it does work.
But then would you have to turn yourself in?
What was that, Yosef?
Turn themselves in? On their own?
Yeah. They would go in because they would say, yeah, they say, I want to get little lashes so I don't have kares coming to me. Exactly. Rav Ashi said, Afilu Tema Rabbanan. You can even say that the view is the Rabbanan, and maybe the Rabbanan agree that with Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, that there is the option of lashes when someone does a sin that deserves kares. Why did the Mishnah say in Megillah that violating Shabbos gets a punishment from the hands of man, but violating Yom Kippur gets a punishment from God? If there's the option of lashes, and even violating Yom Kippur is a punishment from the hands of man, I'll tell you what the Mishnah just meant is that ikers donu bidei Adam. The primary punishment for deliberate violation of Yom Kippur is in the hands of God. The primary punishment for deliberate violation of Shabbos is in the hands of man. Ze'ikers donu bidei Adam, the ze'ikers donu bidei Shamayim. But yes, there is the option of getting a punishment in the hands of man for violating Yom Kippur. There could be lashes. It's just not what's normally going to happen, because normally a person's not going to, as Yosef asked, he's not going to turn himself in and ask for lashes. So normally he's going to be punished with kares. Amar Rav Ada bar Ahava, Amar Rav. Rav Ada bar Ahava says the name of Rav, Halacha Kribah Chanina ben Gamliel, that a person who did a sin that deserves kares, if he gets lashes, he gets an atonement. So, Amar Rav Yosef then asks, Man Salik Leila Vasav Amar, who went up into heaven and is going to come down and tell us, yeah, God agrees that there's a way out of kares, that you can get lashes. So Amar Le Abaye, so Abaye said to Rav Yosef, what do you mean, who went up to heaven? You don't need to go up to heaven. We interpret psukim, and if the psukim tell us this, then we know that that's what God agrees to. Elohadam Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. This is what the thing that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi said. Shlosh advar masu bezen shalmata. There are three rules that the court on earth made. V'yiskimu bezen shalmala al yadam. And because of them, the court in heaven agreed. Are you going to say, man salik leila vasav amar, who's a prophet who went up into heaven and finds out if the court in heaven agrees and tells us, comes down to tell us? Elakroy kadarshin. And the answer is that it's based on verses. And if you're interpreting verses, you know that that's the truth. Hachanami kroy kadarshin. And we're interpreting verses. And nikla chichalei necha. That once your brother gets hit and gets embarrassed in front of your eyes, he's your brother again. Therefore, we see that lashes atones for a sin of kares.
Rabbi, how do the bringing a carbon and offering, how does it intersect with the lashes here?
So bringing a carbon is only if you did it b'shogeg. If he does it unawares that it is a sin or with a mistake, here this is deliberate sin.
So you cannot bring a...
Now, there's no offering for a deliberate sin.
Even when you feel bad about it after
that's right.
All that.
That's right. Kufa, we learned. Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi taught. Shlosh advar masu bezen shalmata. There were three things that the court on earth did. There's kimu bezen shalmala al yadam, and the court in heaven agreed to them. Eluin, these are the three things. Number one, they added a mitzvah, mikra megillah. They said, read the megillah. Another thing we learned, she'ela shalom b'shem. They said you can use God's name, and it's not considered otzah Hashem shemayim levatala to say hello to somebody. Like we find in Megillas Rus, Yivarech Hashem. And Avas Meiser, they said that the Meiser should not just be given to any Levi, you should bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and give it in the Beis HaMikdash to the Kohanim. Also, they can also eat from it, and the Levium, but give it to the central authorities. Mikra Megillah, where was that? The Chsiv is the, how do we know heaven agrees? The Chsiv, because the Pasuk says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu ayudim, the Jews established and accepted. Now, why say both? Could have just said the Jews accepted. It means kimu, they established lamala in heaven, they verified in heaven, masha kiblu lamata, what the Jews accepted on earth. Sheila shalom, how do we know that you're allowed to use God's name to say hello to someone? The Tziv, as it says, V'nei Boaz ba mi'beis lechem ayom ala kotzrim, Hashem imachem. Boaz came from Beis Lechem and he says to the harvesters, God is with you. V'omer, the verse says that the angel tells Gidon, Hashem imcha gibor achayel, God is with you, powerful, mighty warrior. My V'omer, why do we need a second pasuk? V'chitem Boaz u'dav mi'da'ateh. Maybe you say Boaz chose to use God's name. But heaven never agreed. Tashma, that's when we have another verse. For Omer, the angel said, Hashem imcha gibor achayel. Havas Meister, how do we know that the Meister should be brought to the Beis HaMikdash? To save that the prophet says, Aviyu is called a Meister, al Beis HaOtzar. Bring all the Meister to the storehouse in the Beis HaMikdash. V'teref b'veisi, and let there be food in my home for both the Kohanim and the Levium that are there. Uvechanuni nabazos, and test me on this. Omer Hashem Tzvakos says, God, im lo eftach lachem arubas es arubas hashemayim, if I won't open for you the gate, the windows of heaven, varikosi lachem brachad blidai, and I will empty out for you blessing till no enough. What do you mean, ad blidai, till no enough? Rami Bar Rav explained, that your lips will become worn out, Bilomar die, that you'll keep saying, oh, it's enough, and we'll keep getting more and more and more. Amr Balazar, Balazar said, Bishloshim Mekomo, Sophia Ruach HaKodesh, Sophia Ruach HaKodesh. Three times, the divine spirit appeared in the court to agree with their decisions. Bevezdino Shel Shem, Bevezdino Shel Shmuel HaRamasi, Bevezdino Shel Shlomo, in the court of Shem, the court of Shmuel, and the court of Shlomo. Bezina shel Shem, the Chsiv, it says in regards to Yehuda and Tamar, Vayaker Yehuda, Yehuda recognized, Vayomer Tzadka, he said she was right, Imani, I'm the one who made her pregnant. And we know Yada, how would he know? Dilma ki hechid azli'i l'gaba, maybe the same way he visited her when she was dressed as a prostitute. Azl nam enishachrina l'gaba, maybe somebody else went to her, and maybe she's from somebody else. It must be, there was the voice of heaven. It must be that there was a divine presence and a voice from heaven said me many Yatsu Kavushim. From me it came, these hidden matters. I wanted Yehuda to impregnate Tamar to bring Mashiach into the world. Pivezdino shel Shlomo dechsev, in the court of Shlomo, in Shmuel it says, Hinani anu vi, now respond to me, neged Hashem and neged Mashicho, against Hashem and against His anointed one, at Shormi lo kachti, did I take anybody's ox? Vayomer, and the Jews say, Lo ashaktanu lo ratzosanu, you haven't stolen from us, you haven't done anything bad to us. Vayomer, and then Shmuel responds to the Jews, Eid Hashem, God is the witness, Ve'ed Meshicho, Kilometzasim Yadim Yumar, Vyomru Eid. He said, God is the witness that you haven't found in me anything that I've taken from you. And he said, a witness. What do you mean, Vayomer, and he said? It should be Vayomru mi boile. They said, Yatzus Paskal Vomra, and he Eid Badavar Zeh. So it must be there is a voice from heaven. God says, yes, I'm the witness. And Bevezdino Shal Shlomo Dechsev, in the court of Shlomo, in the case of the two mothers arguing over who's the rightful mother of the son, where the king says, okay, give to that one who doesn't want him to be cut, give her the living son, and the dead one not. He emos, she's the mother. How did he know? To my roommate, I'm roommate. Maybe they're just fooling him. Eliyatsis Paskov Amrahimo. Must be that there's a voice from heaven saying that she is his mother. So Amar Rava. Rava said, none of these are too convincing. Mimai, who says? Dilma Yehuda, he knew it was Tamar, even the Chashav Yarchiv Yom Yisrami. The Chazin and Mechazkinan, right? Maybe he made a calculation that she's 9 months pregnant from the day he was with her. He says, so we assume from what I know, the lo chaskina lo mechaskina, what we didn't see that she was with anyone else, we can't assume that. Shmuel Nami, maybe with Shmuel, when it says that everybody said that you didn't steal from us, kul Yisrael kalu b'lashon yachid. Maybe it's just the whole Jewish people together called a person, d'chsev Yisrael no sha b'Hashem, not Yisrael no sha'im b'Hashem. And Shlomo Nami with Shlomo, it's not a proof that the Shekhinah was there. The fact that one mother was compassionate, the other one is not, that's the proof that this is the rightful mother. Ella, so must be, we don't have any proof to this, it's just a Gemara, it's a tradition that the Shekhinah appeared in these three court cases.